store jcp.com for details.
Two minutes past the hour, 3 o'clock. Gym class coming your way here on KGYM. That for a Tuesday edition of the show. And yeah, we got Dragnet FBI stuff to talk about. The names have not been changed to protect the innocent. They name names. The feds came down hard on four college basketball programs and may come down harder on more. We will discuss that here in just a moment. Cal Eldred will talk some baseball with us. Dustin McComas is going to join us, and we will talk Texas-Iowa State football on the program with you. All that on a busy Tuesday edition of the Gym Class. Good afternoon and welcome to the Gym Class for this Tuesday, September the 26th, and I think a day that's going to go down. Hopefully, we'll look back on this day in college basketball and say that things changed this day. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes, Kyle Mann, our producer, coming your way from our studios here on the Southwest Side. Lots to get to on the program today. The big story of the day, though, kind of overshadowing protests and things like that. But again, Mark, just like yesterday, and good afternoon to you out there.
Good afternoon.
This is also one of those stories that, is it a sports story or is it a news story? And in the words of our guest yesterday, Mike Colas, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If you missed it earlier on today, the FBI, the Federal Bureau of Investigations, in a three-month-long investigation into the world of college basketball behind the scenes with shoe companies, with assistant coaches, apparently with some big city AAU coaches. It's a very, very sticky situation and a bribery, pay-for-play type of situation. People being coerced to go to certain schools based on their affiliation with shoe companies. I don't think this is anything new, Mark. We didn't know exactly. We've heard rumors in the world of college basketball, if you keep your ear to the ground, that this may have been going on. It was proven today, and the worst part about it is the NCAA comes out and says, we knew nothing of this situation. That makes them look really bad because it took 3 months for the FBI to start busting heads on this one.
Yeah, and it took someone to really rat on the situation. Louis Blaser, a former financial advisor, he was accused of obtaining millions of dollars from clients unlawfully. He pretty much, in exchange for leniency in that case, brought about, or at least confirmed, a lot of what the U.S. Attorney's Office in New York and the FBI have found, and that is what I believe is just the tip of the iceberg. Four assistant coaches, you mentioned the schools, four assistant coaches. Louisville is implicated because of a player, Brian Bowen,
who committed.
Who was given money by Adidas, and apparently, allegedly, his mother says no, of course. But it just looks like the end for Patino. Auburn assistant coach arrested, suspended today. Who's the head coach there?
Miller. Auburn, Bruce Pearl. I thought you said Arizona.
Iowa assistant coach Bruce Pearl.
I was looking
He's the head coach there.
Yes, he is. So far implicated are USC, Auburn, Arizona, and Oklahoma State. But there are several other major schools, including, like you said, Louisville, that are out there. Rick Pitino, if Louisville is implicated, cannot survive this. He survived everything from all-out recruiting scandals to prostitutes for recruits, there's no way he can survive this. Already, the implicated assistant coaches have all been suspended by their schools, USC, Auburn, Arizona, and Oklahoma State. And like I said, you hear rumors of this each and every year because, let's face it, shoe contracts, apparel contracts, they are big deals. This is big multi-billion dollar businesses that these colleges are dealing with right now. I will say this. I know most of the AAU coaches around here, and I know they wouldn't do anything like that. We're talking like New York City. We're talking big-time, major city AAU programs.
We're talking about high school All-Americans, and part of the the implication to Louisville is that Jim Gatto, director of global sports marketing at Adidas, was among those arrested. He's accused of helping funnel about $100,000, excuse me, to the family of a quote-unquote All-American high school basketball player, unquote, to secure the prospect's commitment to a school Adidas sponsors. According to the documents, the prospect committed in June. What we know is the only quote-unquote All-American high school player who committed to a school Adidas sponsors is Brian Bowen, who is now enrolled at Louisville.
That's why Louisville is implicated.
The time Patino says Bowen fell in his lap. He was called by an AAU coach. Hey, you interested in this guy? Yeah, I saw him play once before. And was quoted as saying, you know, it's the luckiest thing that ever happened to me. I didn't have to spend a dime recruiting the guy. No, but other people did,
Other
Rick.
People did. Under the table, around the table, whatever the case may be. And you got managers. You got representatives of these kids. Their group, their people around them. This is Fran Fraschilla, who I have a great deal of respect for from ESPN. I think he does a fantastic job as a commentator and also talking about the world of college basketball. And he said, yeah, this is a real black eye day today for college basketball. But he says, I think we will look back on this down the road and say this was good for the game.
Dan Dockich, who has been on the KGYM airwaves, says it might be the greatest day in college basketball history.
Because it's going to hopefully straighten everything out. And again, what looks the worst out of all this maybe is the fact that the NCAA, again, came out and said we had no idea this was happening.
Of course not.
And the investigation was happening.
319-366-1600. That's our Jerry Ask Investment Services text line. Go to jkainvest.com. It's also our phone line. Kyle Mann, our producer, back from Iowa City in the Kirk Ferentz News Conference, ready to accept your calls. Joel and Muscatine, how can you expect a player to behave morally and ethically as a coach if you acquire their services in an unethical or immoral way?
Very, very much so, Joel. Very well put in there. Very well put.
0056, if there's dirt to be found, I'm sure you can find it around Pearl's feet.
Oh, man. How many college basketball coaches are going to lose their jobs because of this? What is the NCAA tournament going to look like? I mean, if you have those four schools are biggies. I mean, Auburn is coming up. They were supposed to be top third of the SEC this year. Arizona is a national title contender. USC is a national title contender this year. And Oklahoma State, they've had some turnaround as far as their coaches are concerned. So, but they are a blue blood program as far as the Big 12 is concerned. And you're talking about Louisville. I mean, the face of the NCAA basketball for the next two or three years could be changed. And I agree with Dan Dockich. I agree with Fran Fraschilla. I think everything is going to turn out okay. But boy, this is going to be a big, big purge. And a lot of big-time programs could get nipped in the bud as far as this is concerned. Which is not
Again,
a
I think
bad thing in the end.
Tip of the iceberg. These four in particular, assistant coaches have been arrested. And folks at Adidas have been arrested. And FBI doesn't miss too often.
No.
And it's not.
And they're going to do hard time.
Yeah, if you're having to deal with the NCAA is one thing. The FBI is quite another. I'm pretty sure of that.
FBI is going to win more often than not out there. 319-366-1600 as more texts fly in.
8650. Rick finally getting hit by the light. Death penalty.
See, people are talking about that, and Alex and I were talking about that in the studio earlier today, and we both came to the agreement NCAA is not going to do that again. They're going to get a lot of sanctions, but I don't think they're going to get the death penalty because of what happened to SMU football, which is still feeling the effects from that.
How can Louisville turn its cheek on Rick Pitino?
They can't. I mean, if he's implicated in this, there is no way, no way he can survive this thing again. This guy's had more lives than Morris the Cat out there and just keeps on landing on his feet. But I don't think he's going to land on his feet on this one.
You wouldn't think he should.
I wouldn't think he should.
We'll hear more.
We're going to hear more. More on that coming up on our show. More on the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Coomber. We're going to get to some baseball. We got a jam-packed show today. Cal Eldred set to join us on a Tuesday edition, and we'll talk to Cal when we come back.
These are the $25 Mediacom's taking off the price of its Extreme packages every month for a whole year. That's right. Mediacom's taking $25 a month off its Extreme packages for a whole year. Just show them your current bill from the satellite TV or slow DSL service you've got now. You'll get up to 100 megabit internet with matching Wi-Fi speeds, TiVo DVR, over 230 channels, free on demand, and nationwide calling. Extreme packages with TV, internet, and phone are as low as $24.99 per service a month for 1 year when bundled. Plus, for a limited time, choose a free one-year bonus, either Showtime or a speed boost up to 200 megabits. Just get out your current provider's bill and call Mediacom at 1-800-SIMPLIFY for details. That's 1-800-SIMPLIFY.
Limited time offer available to qualify new Mediacom customers switching from a competitive TV or HSD service provider. Prices do not include installation, modem rental, activation, taxes, fees, and sports and broadcast surcharges. Internet speeds may vary and a monthly data usage allowance applies. Additional charges and restrictions may apply. Not available in all areas.
Is your power tool not working? Does your mower or chainsaw need maintenance? If you're having these issues with your power equipment or just need something tuned up, let the factory-trained technicians at Acme Tools fix the problem for you. We'll assess the issue and give you a free estimate to get it fixed. Mention this ad and we'll take 10% off your service work. For quality service work and parts, visit the Acme Tools Service Department and let us help you do your best work. Acme Tools on Blairs Ferry Road in Cedar Rapids.
Looking back at the glory days while keeping the pulse on the here and now. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on The Gym Class, KGYM.
Kirk Ferentz also met the media today, and we'll hear from Kirk hopefully coming up at the end of our show. Definitely well in the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. They'll have coaches' cuts coming up. Kirk was asked about protests, and he basically gave a long-winded answer that don't expect any protests from the Iowa football team.
And he believed it should be a personal thing and should be kept off the field.
He said they're going to act as one team no matter what. He says, I don't think we're going to let anything like that. Long story short, don't expect any protests from the Iowa football team on Saturday.
Right. He was talked about this week's opponent, Michigan State, and the Big Ten championship game from 2015. And he said, you know what? That seems like 10 years ago.
And it kind of does.
Yeah.
Kind of does. By the way, the eminent Mark Emmert, not Des Moines Register Mark Emmert, NCAA President Mark Emmert, has come out with a statement. Quote, the nature of these charges brought by the federal government are deeply disturbing.
Mm.
We have no tolerance whatsoever for this alleged behavior. Coaches hold a unique position of trust with student athletes and their families, and those bribery allegations, if true, suggest an extraordinary and despicable breach of that trust. We learned of these charges this morning, and of course we'll support the ongoing criminal federal investigation. Unquote.
Like, this has been going on just in the last few months.
Way to go.
Okay.
Way to go. All right. Cal Eldred set to join us right now to talk a little Major League Baseball. We'll get back to we'll try to circle around and talk about the NCAA and what's going on in the college basketball. But we're going to talk some baseball as we get to the final week of the regular season, believe it or not. Week 26 of the Major League year. How you doing, Cal? Whoop. Cal, are you there? Hello, Cal, can you hear us? Try that. Cal, can you hear us? Huh. All right. We're going to try it again and have Cal call back. He will. Must have had a bad connection right there. Are we going to go with that? Is the NCAA, are they are they on our phones? I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
We'll wait for Cal to call back. Twins baseball tonight. The Twins could wrap up the second wild card spot with a win over Cleveland and a Los Angeles Angels loss to your Chicago White Sox, Scott.
Who helped you last night?
Please
you're very welcome.
Give us a little more help.
I'd like to.
But Twins baseball tonight, 107.5 FM, 7 p.m. That game joined in progress.
Yep, and we'll see if they can put it away tonight. Try it again. Take two here. Cal, can you hear us?
I can hear you guys.
There we go. Very good.
You realize that was the end, that was the FBI cutting us off. I am one of those parents of players in the NCAA.
Not basketball, though.
No, not basketball. But we've had a couple kids that have redshirted. We've had a medical situation. We've had all kinds of stuff that we've had to deal with, and I think I'd rather deal with the FBI than the NCAA. So let's just put it that way.
Good luck with that, Cal.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I know I'm going to lose.
Yeah.
If I go down that road.
Hey, Cal, I wanted to ask you, since you're an employee of the Kansas City Royals, we saw what happened this weekend in the NFL, and the Oakland Athletics, Bruce Maxwell, a backup catcher, knelt with his heart, hand over his heart, during the national anthem, said he'd continue to do so the rest of the year. Are clubs having conversations continually on this topic?
Oh, this can be a tough one, but to me, it's not really that tough. Yeah, teams are discussing how to handle these situations, and it's hard because in the game of baseball, if there's any sport that is represented by the world, it is Major League Baseball.
Mm-hmm.
And we represent the world as much as anybody, players from all over the world. And for years and years and years, players from other countries have come here and stood during our national anthem. When you go to Canada, you'll stand for the Canadian national anthem. You'll do you'll stand for our national anthem. And so it's just it's out of respect for those countries. It's out of respect for the men and women who have served and lost many, many people, that they stand for those national anthems. And it's looked at that, you know what, it's because those sacrifices that we get to play the game and we get to make a living playing a game. And I really take my hat off to the players from the other countries and coaches and staff that do that and understand that it's because of that that they're able to come to the United States and Canada and make a living. So it is being discussed, no question.
Yeah. Well, let's get on to the field here. We're in the last week 26 of the Major League Baseball season. Is baseball hurt by the fact that basically we have no pennant races? The only thing basically to be taken care of is the National League wild card, and people aren't probably too hip to that right now. Is this hurting baseball going into the playoffs next week?
I think that there's a lot of excitement with the fans of the teams, the people who are going to watch, and I think once the playoffs start, then those fans, it may not be your everyday Major League Baseball checking the box scores, fans will really start paying attention, and because it's, you guys know how it is. Each night it just continues to build throughout the month of October, and you keep adding more and more and more fans. So I think that there may be not as many stories to talk about here as far as the teams go, but there's some individual accomplishments, and plus you've got teams like Milwaukee who haven't been in there for a while, Arizona, Colorado, the Twins, who are going to be in there. So there's some fans. I think we're pulling them in, and I think it's maybe better than we think.
I think what's hurt as much as anything, Cal, is maybe the mediocrity in both leagues. I mean, less than half of the teams have winning records. I think the American League, only a third of the teams have winning records.
Yeah, and I agree with that. It's tough because you haven't seen, even though the divisions are already decided, you do have some teams, and we've seen that throughout the year because there were some teams that we thought would really play well. It just kind of floated along. And, you know, Cleveland did it for a while. Kansas City, we did it for, and we've kind of maintained that. That's what we've been doing all year. And so it's not just, I mean, both central divisions have not really, there haven't been two or three teams who have been going at it real hard all year above everybody else. So I agree with you, Mark, no question.
The flip side of that coin, though, is the fact that we got some super teams.
Right.
Yep.
Right.
That are going to collide in the playoffs. And you take a look at things, for example, in the American League, it's Cleveland-Houston still fighting it out for home field. Cleveland has a little bit of an advantage. But if it ended now, Cleveland would get either the Yankees or the Twins, whoever survives that wild card game. Boston, Houston, that's not going to be too bad. You take a look at the National League, that's already set right now. It's going to be the Cubs and the Nationals in the first round, and then the wild card winner taking on the Dodgers.
Well, and I don't think the Cubs like that matchup with the Nationals. I really don't. But I also look at, if you want a preview, the Boston plays Houston a four-game series at home to end the season.
Mm.
And so it's going to be interesting how these teams match up, and you've still got a couple, even though the Dodgers have 100 wins, there still hasn't been a team clinch the best record in the respective leagues yet either. So there are some teams that, I mean, Houston's playing really well. Cleveland, you can't say enough about them, but, you know, there's some teams with the Diamondbacks and Colorado. Are they going to get some momentum going into the playoffs too? And here we go, guys. All this that we've been watching and talking about, a couple of these teams, it comes down to one game, and they're in or out. They're out.
0190, Cal, maybe you can comment on this. Ryan from Walford, as hot as they are right now, the Cubs, I don't see them getting out of the first round with their bullpen and a shaky, at best, number four.
Yeah, it's it is kind of tough for them right now. They need Schwarber to swing the bat really well. And I don't know if they're waiting necessarily to turn the switch on, but they have been playing better baseball. But like I said, I don't know that they like that matchup with the Nationals. That's an iffy one for me because the Nationals have a lot to prove, guys. I mean, going back a few years back when they were a pitch away from going to the National League Championship, and it just didn't happen against St. Louis. They have a lot to prove, and with Strasburg being healthy now, Harper coming off the disabled list, it's going to be tough. But the Cubs have an uphill climb, but the thing that they do know is they've been in the playoffs, and they know what it's like.
This is your top three starters for the Washington Nationals right now. Max Scherzer, 2.55. Gio Gonzalez, 2.68. Steven Strasburg, 2.68 ERAs. That's pretty formidable at this point, but that doesn't win games on paper.
But what they're able to do with those starters, and I think any of us would say that our question mark in there may be Gonzalez, but he has been outstanding. So I look at that, you know, I don't think, let's understand too, that there's a guy that has a little bit to do with this. And I know the players, I'm a guy that says, look, the players, they win games, but you know, Mike Maddux has been working with these guys. And I think he's a guy that we hear about his brother, Greg, all the time, but Mike Maddux, my understanding with the people that have worked with him, he's excellent at what he does. Those guys are going to pitch the vast majority of the innings in this series, and that's tough on the Cubs. But hey, the Cubs have been playing well.
It's been a joy to follow the Twins' journey this year, and assuming they're going to wrap things up here in the next couple of days, the great reward is going to Yankee Stadium, Cal, where it's basically a house of horrors for them. But Do the Twins stand a better chance in a one-game playoff or a series?
I think they stand a much better chance in a one-game playoff.
Mm-hmm.
And because we talked about it, that was the part of the Twins' schedule going down the stretch that had me concerned. But then you saw the Angels and Kansas City. You saw us not play very well at the time when the Twins were in New York getting beat up. And that's exactly what the Twins needed to give them some comfort down the stretch here. And so I think a one-game playoff, it makes the Yankees nervous. You never know what can happen in one game. And the Yankees have been playing well, too. But now you see Minnesota playing well. They've got nothing to lose, Mark. They really don't. And so that's why, for them, I like this one-game playoff. Mm-hmm.
What I love about getting into playoff baseball is it's pitching and defense. And you just take a look at it, and you ask yourself, say it with the Boston Red Sox, a great example. Okay, you know in a five-game series, you're going to get Chris Sale twice. Good luck. Seven-game series, you're going to get Chris Sale probably three times. Good luck on that. So, I mean, that's what makes this type of year so intriguing.
Well, and it's the same thing with the Dodgers. You look at the Dodgers where they're at. You're going to get Kershaw twice, but Kershaw is just getting back into his rhythm. Because he's been injured, and so they have some question marks out there in LA, and very rarely, Scott, you hit it on the nail on the head, because the playoff baseball, very rarely do you see the big scores, and pitching is almost always going to top the offense. So is LA going to be able to see Kershaw a couple times? You know you're going to see Sale if you're going to face Boston. They're not a team you want to match up against.
Cal, speaking of pitching, I saw Brad Ausmus is out with the Tigers after this season. And having watched that four-game series against the Twins, that's the most god-awful bullpen that I've ever seen in Major League Baseball, I think. It just gave up runs. Is that why he's not going to be back?
Yeah, there's a couple things. That one is kind of curious to me, because I know Brad, I know the way he thinks a little bit, and he's a hard worker.
Mm-hmm.
But he was given some starting pitching. He's had some offense while the time he's been there, but he's never been given a bullpen that can complete a game. And we're in a time of baseball where the bullpen is so, so important. Very rarely are you seeing starters going seven innings. And so in Detroit, it's no different. Not only that, but they trade away Verlander.
Yeah,
you've seen that that's given Verlander a shot in the arm. So it's been tough on him. I know they've attempted to give him a bullpen, but they really haven't done that, and that's really pulled the rug out from underneath him there.
I'd just like to point out to America that the Chicago White Sox are out of last place. But blowing draft choices as we speak, because they're fourth or fifth now in the pecking order.
You have every team's top draft pick from the last 3 years.
Yeah, that's right.
You know what? And you're right. And boy, Giolito's looking good so far. I'm very... I'm excited. Hasn't happened yet. I'm pumping the brakes a little bit, but boy, he looks good in his first seven starts.
The White Sox have a lot of things to look forward to, the fans there, and of course, you know, you still have to develop those young players. Mankata looks great. You got a very good base of players, and the pitchers got to come through, and they've got to stay healthy, and it's something that I'll definitely continue to call Chris Getz, who's head of their player development in the minor leagues, and put the pressure on him, make him nervous. So he worked for us in Kansas City this last year. Was his first year, so at least they gave him a lot to work with.
One last question, Cal. It comes from our text line. 6657 says the Nationals have one weakness. The Dusty Baker effect.
Yep.
What do you think about that?
I believe that's from a Cub fan, I would imagine.
Yeah, I would imagine that's from a Cub fan. And being a guy that was in a Cardinal uniform when Dusty was in that Cub uniform, hey, I have a tendency to agree. But look, Dusty's learned. He has learned a lot. He's managed some very good teams that have had a ton of success, and so I really think that he probably looks at this right now himself that he has nothing to lose, really, and everything to gain. And I think Dusty now understands it's about the players. Let the players go do their thing. You don't have to do much other than keep them encouraged. So. That's an interesting – I like that, though. It does make me chuckle.
Yeah. I think he's got to win a series, especially this year. It's not going to get much better for the Nationals than it is going into this particular postseason. All right, your final week before the postseason, top five.
You know, guys, maybe I'm not a very smart baseball guy, and maybe this top five is going to prove it. When you have a top five that doesn't include a team that won 100 games in the major league season, maybe I've got a problem. But I think you guys might agree with me once you see who's in the top five. I've had Arizona and Colorado in the top five almost the last month because I've been impressed with what they've been able to do. Because they have not only taken advantage of the National League West, but they've beat the big teams too. So, my top five, though, has switched a little bit this week. I fear the Yankees right now. New York is my number five team. They've got 87 wins, but they're really playing well. And it's kind of like you've got some youth that are finally starting to figure things out. And Aaron Judge and what he's been able to do. Sabathia's throwing the ball pretty good. So I'm putting them in at number five. And number four team, guys, is Boston. They were not in my top five last week. I do not remember, or I don't think so. But they're at number four. And they were my first team that I was going to slide in last week. But they're at number four. They're playing extremely well. But it'd be really interesting, this four-game series with Houston. And then it goes, the Nationals are at number three. They get Harper back. We'll see how healthy he is. And, Scott, you mentioned their pitching. It's dynamic. But I do agree. They need to win a series. They need to get themselves into the World Series. This is their time to do it. And Houston, they've kind of stepped on the gas pedal a little bit lately. They're at number two. And, guys, the team it has just been a well-oiled machine, and they've probably got the AL Cy Young Award winner. I know there's some argument there, maybe, possibly. But Corey Kluber, the way he's been throwing the ball and their offense has been scoring, it's great to have that kind of a guy going into the playoffs.
We'll see him up close and personal the next three nights, Cal.
Yep, that's right.
All right. Hey, Cal, we'll talk playoffs next week. I can hardly wait. And we'll watch a lot of good baseball starting at that point and listen to it as well. So we'll talk to you then.
Yep, we can sleep in November, fellas.
There you go. Cal Elder joining us here on the Tuesday edition of the Gym Class. Quick break. Come back. Dustin McComas will join us. He covers the Texas Longhorns. Back with more after this.
Timing is everything, and right now is a great time to get great deals on a certified pre-owned Honda at the Honda Dream Deal Sales Event, going on now. Well-qualified buyers can receive 0.9% APR financing on select Honda certified pre-owned vehicles, so you can feel good about driving KBB.com's 2016 Best Value brand. The Honda Dream Deal Sales Event is happening now. Visit HondaCertified.com and search for local inventory.
See dealer for financing details based on 2016 brand image awards from Cali Blue Book. Visit KBB.com for more information. See your Honda dealer for limited warranty details.
It's Boost's Fall Flip Event. Join Boost Mobile, and when you add a line, get a free phone and your first month free. All powered by the fast and reliable Sprint Nationwide Network. Boost is the best value in wireless among national prepaid carriers. Visit a Boost Mobile store from 9/22 through 30. When you add a line, get your first month free and a free phone. Boost makes it easy to switch. Switching makes it easy to save. Offer valid 9/22/17 through 9/30/17. Primary line must be on a $50 plan. Free month credit is $50 to apply to activation. Free phone available for new lines added to the family plan and activated on a $50 plan. Select models only while supplies last. Coverage and offers not available everywhere. Restrictions apply. See participating dealer for details.
Look, I get it. You're Mark Teixeira, former All-Star first baseman. You want tickets on the first baseline. And your beloved former catcher, David Ross. You'd rather be behind the plate. Or check out the view from the center field seats. You know, where I hit my Game 7 home run.
Too many choices of where I hit home runs. 409 choices to be exact.
No matter which seats are right for you, it's easy to find them at Vivid Seats.
Millions of tickets, 100% buyer guarantee. Find your seats at Vivid Seats.
See guarantee terms at Vivid Seats. Save on your next oil change at O'Reilly Auto Parts when you purchase 5 quarts of Valvoline Max Life High Mileage Motor Oil and a MicroGuard filter for $24.99. Keep your engine running smoothly, plus earn 200 O'Rewards points with this purchase during O'Rewards Member Appreciation Month. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Limits apply. See store for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Back with you at 3:37. Busy Tuesday edition of the Gym Class coming your way on KGYM. Podcast will be available immediately following the program at our website at kgymradio.com. Iowa State, Texas. It's a Thursday nighter, and we'll have the story at 5 o'clock. John Walters and Eric Heft on the call. And again, that will be a 5 o'clock pregame for you right here on 1600 AM. 107.5, 106.3 FM, Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. We'll continue on until 7 o'clock. That'll be coming up on Thursday night. But really looking forward to this big Big 12 battle between the Cyclones and the Horns. And to talk more about that, Dustin McComas from OrangeBloods.com joining us here on a Tuesday. And how you doing today?
I'm doing well. I'm doing better than some NCAA basketball coaches are doing right now, I can tell you that. So, yeah, doing well. Looking forward to this game Thursday night.
It is going to be a very interesting game. I think people in Ames are looking forward to it. I think people in Austin are looking forward to it as well, especially with the start Iowa State has gotten off to. And with what Texas showed down at the Coliseum a week ago Saturday night against the USC Trojans.
Yeah, it feels like a huge game for both programs from the sense that it's going to define, you know, what direction I think both are going to head this season. You mentioned the strong start by Iowa State. Obviously, they want to prove that, you know what, they can play with the big teams in the Big 12 and actually have a shot to really put together a solid season. And you've got Texas, on the other hand, that wants to prove that USC wasn't a fluke and that they've really actually made some legitimate progress following that debacle to open the season against Maryland. So, yeah, I think it's a big game for both programs that's going to really define what kind of season both are capable of having moving forward.
Dustin, has Texas and Tom Herman solved the issues that reared their head in that opener against Maryland?
I don't think so. I think a lot of those issues stemmed primarily from just years of not having a culture that wins football games at Texas. I think they were issues that you don't solve in a week or in a couple weeks or in a preseason camp. These are issues that you've got to solve, I think, over the course of multiple weeks and maybe even a full football season. So, no, they're definitely still in the process of solving those issues. As it relates to the X's and O's and schematically, they've still got a lot of solving left to do on offense. As good as the performance was against USC, that was an offense that really couldn't do much at all against the Trojans. Obviously, context needed. USC's pretty dang good, and you're playing on the road there. But still, that's an offense that wasn't moving the ball and really has yet to prove that they can consistently move the football against a legitimate non-San Jose State type of program.
Well, that leads to the first question. Who's going to be the starting quarterback for the Longhorns on Thursday night?
If Shane Buechele's healthy, it's going to be Shane Buechele. Tom Herman made that pretty clear last week. He's at times been a little wishy-washy with how he's treated that quarterback situation. He's a really big believer in practice and what he sees from players in practice dictating, you know, who's going to play in the games. But coming out of that USC game that following week, he made it pretty clear that if Buechele is healthy, he's going to be the guy. And, you know, is he going to be healthy? We'll see. I mean, obviously wasn't healthy enough to play at USC. So, you know, anytime you have a shoulder issue, you kind of wonder how long those linger, especially when it's a throwing arm issue. But if Shane is healthy, he's going to be the guy.
What, if anything, has Tom Herman had to say about going back to Iowa State where he spent time as an assistant?
Well, he brings up, you know, some of his time there when people have asked him about, hey, you know, how do you prevent, you know, Texas from losing like it, to Iowa State like it has in the past? He's spoken glowingly about his time there and, you know, how it kind of was one of those things that he took experiences from to help him get to where he is now. But he said, make no mistake about it. I mean, he knows what kind of challenge playing at Iowa State presents, and spoke about, you know, having that those experiences and knowing full well that Texas has been on the wrong side of some of those experiences.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Tom Herman, being a former Iowa State assistant, he knows the ins and outs of Jack Trice Stadium anyway. Wasn't there, I think, when it was not bowled in on the south end as of yet, but you know, he knows how rabid the Iowa State fan base can be and have done a great job of coming out and supporting a team that hasn't put up a whole lot of winning seasons over the years.
Yeah, I think there's no doubt that the passion there is definitely visible, especially when you get into a Big 12 play, especially when you get into, you know, a situation on a Thursday night where you're the game on a Thursday night, and, you know, people have been looking forward to it and so on and so forth. So, no, I think they're fully aware. They're expecting to go into that environment and have to play in a tough environment. You know, obviously, the name Texas, you get your best from pretty much everybody. But no, I mean, Herman, with his time there, he knows that they're definitely aware that it's going to be a tough environment, and that if they go up there and play a C-level game, they're probably going to end up coming out there with a loss.
Dustin, what have you seen out of the Big 12 this year that may or may not have surprised you? TCU beating Oklahoma State last week, anything along those lines?
That's a great question. I'm not too surprised about TCU because this has been a trend for Gary Patterson now. Each time he's had a season like he had last year where the record is just really, really poor, they've always bounced back with a really strong season. And we know what kind of job he does in terms of development and in-game scheme and coaching and preparation, all those things. So that's not too surprising. Maybe a little surprising to me is obviously they're going through a culture change and a coaching change, and they've had all the off-the-field issues. But Baylor being as bad as it is, you know, it kind of surprised me. I thought that they would, you know, at least have enough to be pretty competitive throughout the season. Although, to give them credit, they hung right there with Oklahoma. I think that was a little more to do with Oklahoma not playing as well as they could than Baylor. But Baylor being that bad to me has been a surprise. Otherwise, I don't think there's been too many surprises yet. I mean, Kansas State losing that Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt, you know, even though Alabama just put them on pretty good, Vanderbilt's a well-coached team that's got a good defense. Oklahoma, you know, it's been Oklahoma. Oklahoma State scored a lot of points. Obviously, they had their setback, but I think that wasn't a huge surprise. So I still think we're in the process of finding out a lot about these teams. And once they really get into the thick of the Big 12 schedule, it'll really reveal, you know, who's going to rise to the top. And is there another team besides Oklahoma that can kind of carry that flag for the Big 12 and be one of those elite teams that could potentially jump into a playoff conversation?
Yeah, and that'll be interesting to see if there's a – well, there's going to be a rematch somewhere along the line, but exactly what the rematch is going to be, we'll have to wait and see. And as far as this game Thursday night, the eyes of the nation on it, obviously, that's the first big thing. And a crossroads game. I mean, Matt Campbell's got Iowa State to the point now where people names are thinking if Iowa State gets a win on Thursday night, they can get to 6 and they can get to a bowl game, which is the next step in the progression. Tom Herman doesn't want to lose to Iowa State going back to Ames. Tom Herman doesn't want to go to 1-3 with his new football program. So this one is that's what makes football intriguing, and especially this game coming up.
Yeah, absolutely. It's to me the most intriguing aspect about it is when you're dealing with college age student athletes. You know, the mental approach they take to these games, I think, is so huge, which is, we've seen the highs and the lows with Texas this season. We saw the low against Maryland where it looks like the same old Texas of the last 3, 4, 5, 6 years. And then we've seen the high of the new coaching staff really connecting with the roster in that USC game. What are we going to see on Thursday? I think that's what makes this matchup so fascinating is you've got an upstart team at home that really feels like they're taking the next step with their program. And they've got some talent, too. I mean, let's make no mistake about it. They've got some playmakers on offense that can move the ball and do some things. And then you've got Texas that feels like it made gigantic progress over the last couple of games following that Maryland game. Are they going to come out and feel good about themselves and kind of, you know, take things for granted and not have that same mental approach as required? Or are they going to build on what they did at USC and put together an even better game and really bring it on the road? So, yeah, it's really a unique matchup. It's a big matchup for both programs. I really do think it's really going to define what direction both of those programs take for the rest of the season. Both of them really need it. Like you mentioned, you know, Texas does not want to start 1-3. And make no mistake about it, Texas goes up there and loses. The conversation falling is going to be, you know, what happened? Is Texas going to get to a bowl game? Is the progress they made, are they going in the wrong direction again? But that's all those things that have been common throughout Texas in the last few years, and it's something that the program really needs to avoid right now.
See, the Texas student body is going to have a voice tomorrow in a referendum brought by the student body president and vice president whether to bring back the Texas A&M game, which has been not on the schedule the last 6 years. Just going to hold any water, Dustin?
I don't think so. I think what's going to hold water is when the decision makers that matter get to a point when they realize there's simply too much money to make out of the issue, and you start to put aside things like politics, and there's just so much money that those guys, they just can't avoid it. I'm not expecting much. I mean, this isn't the first time we've had people of any sort of, you know, stature and power or position of strength or whatever you want to call it come out and say they need to play this game. Ultimately, it's going to take, you know, decision makers on both sides deciding, hey, there's too much for us to gain out of this, and hey, let's put aside some of our issues and get this football game back on the field again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree, because that was one of the great traditions in college football. And I hate to see it go away when A&M left for the SEC. What do you think? You don't have to give us a score if you don't want to, but how do you think this is going to play out on Thursday night? Are we going to see a lot of offense? I think we might.
Oh, man, I don't know. I'm kind of on the other end. I think this is going to be... I think this is going to be a game that's going to be determined more by what teams do defensively and in special teams. I think that if Texas doesn't come out and play the level of defense that it did against San Jose State and USC, I think it's going to have some problems, because I would expect Iowa State to generate enough offense to where it puts a lot of pressure on a very vulnerable Texas offense to have to score points. I mean, this is an offensive line that is a negative right now. I mean, without Connor Williams, by far their best offensive lineman, their best player on the roster, this is a group that's really scrambling to figure out how to not just protect the quarterback, but also how to generate things in the run game and how to just put some points on the board. So I think the Texas defense will come out. I think it will play well, and I think that Texas will find a way to barely escape with a victory. But if the Texas defense doesn't come out and carry the load and really help out that offense, I think the Longhorns could be in trouble. But with the way Tom Herman and his staff responded following that Maryland game, I'm betting on Texas to come out with the defense and special teams it needs to get out of there with a win.
Yeah, each team has had about 10 days to get ready, so no advantage right there. And should be a very nice night for football as well. Very fall-like, not like the last two Saturdays where we needed SPF 50. And just to watch the games. But Dustin, hey, appreciate the time. Thank you very much. Safe travels to Ames, and we will talk to you soon.
All right, thanks, guys. Take care.
You bet. Dustin McComas joining us here from orangebloods.com, talking about the Texas Longhorns. They take on Iowa State on Saturday. We'll take a break, come back, and have more for you on the Tuesday edition of the Gym Class here on KGYM.
Good sportsmanship matters during the game and in life. So Fairfax State Savings Bank and the Gym are proud to shine the spotlight on KGYM's community MVP.
Recognizing good sports around here and letting you know how to get in the game too.
Don't miss the Sweetgrass Flute Nature Festival, September 29th through October 1st at Prairie Woods in Hiawatha. There'll be lots to see and do, including musical performances, shopping, workshops, and more. There's no event like it, plus it's free and everyone is welcome.
Details at kgymradio.com. Click on Community MVP.
Check, check, and check. Whole to-do list done. And it's game time.
I only gave you that list an hour ago.
Right.
You fixed the dishwasher, washed the dog, and got us a mortgage in less than an hour?
Yep. Dishwasher was simple, Bruno was no trouble, and I got us an online mortgage at Fairfax State Savings Bank, where we were approved in like 20 minutes.
You demand, babe. Let's watch that game. High five.
Fairfax State Savings Bank. Visit thebankhere.com for a mortgage or refinance today. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Shifting gears is what it takes sometimes to move forward. PMX Industries in Cedar Rapids is looking for some special people like you who view life a bit differently. You're intrigued by the thought of working all night when the rest of the world isn't. You like the freedom and the pay night work offers, plus overtime. Shifting gears with PMX Overnight offers stellar health benefits with medical, dental, and vision, coupled with rock-solid retirement benefits. Working the overnight shift at PMX isn't for everyone, but shifting gears may be perfect for you. Learn more at ipmx.com.
Hi, this is Tiki Barber. My football career taught me the importance of being prepared for game time. And now that I own multiple businesses, being prepared means having capital when I need it. That's where Cabbage comes in with flexible lines of credit of up to $150,000. Apply online and get a decision right away. Withdraw funds when you need them without reapplying. Cabbage has supported over 100,000 small businesses. Get started at cabbage.com/gametime or 888-CABBAGE. That's Cabbage with a K, 888-CABBAGE.
Line of credit is subject to credit approval. See terms and conditions.
You'll probably find them either on the golf course or at the bowling alley. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes, The Gym Class on KGYM.
353, back with you here on Gym Class, Tuesday edition here on KGYM, 1600 AM, 107.5, 106.3 FM. The Twins tonight against Cleveland will join up at 7 o'clock. That'll be on 107.5 FM. Cleveland, or I should say the Twins' magic number right now is 2. Cubs can clinch the NL Central coming up tonight as well. This Saturday and all through the weekend, it's the annual Swamp Fox Festival. And to talk more about that, our friend, the mayor, Vic Lofenstein, joining us here.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming in. And an annual tradition over in the beautiful city of Marion.
Yes, it is. This is our 28th annual festival.
Unbelievable.
So, and that I've been involved with all 100 of them. No, all 28.
Sometimes it seems like 100,
right? It
does
seem like it, yeah.
Sometimes it seems like it's maybe 10.
Especially as we get close to it. You know, we wonder, do we have everything done? But we do. We're in good shape.
A lot of activities, Vic, including some sporting events. And it all gets underway Friday, right?
Right. We'd have the movie Friday night out at the amphitheater. We do have a new event, a basketball for the youth.
Oh, okay.
Girls and boys. That'll be down at Thomas Park. I think they're guaranteed 3 or 4 games with each other. It wasn't quite filled last Monday, but I don't know now.
Yeah.
I hope so.
Golf tournament Friday morning?
Yep, starts about 10 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
10 o'clock, and that's out at Gartner. And that's the Marion Independent School Foundation golf outing.
Excellent, so, excellent. And some road races as well that you're going to have. I think the 5K run walk.
Well, there's a run walk for youth as well as adults, too. Now, that will be on Fifth Avenue down. The parade route has changed because of the construction. Parade route's going to come down Sixth Avenue. 15th Street down at the school comes up. Then we'll turn on Sixth, go past the library and the historical center.
Awesome.
You want to grab your pumpkins, you can even go to the market on Saturday,
market,
right?
Market, yes. 9:30 to 1. That's a kind of a good market.
Mm-hmm.
And don't forget the pancake breakfast at 7. I'll be involved with that, I know. So
you can just
today's National Pancake Day, Vic. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
Today is, yes.
Gee,
you know, there's a national day of for whatever
for
these
everything,
days.
Yeah.
Well, I stopped. I don't want National Mayor's Day.
I was down here this morning, and I stopped at Sikora's on the way back and bought kolaches. So if I'd have known it was Pancake Day, I might have stopped somewhere else.
Could have had the pancakes.
That's right. Yes.
Now, if people, is there a website with all the information
yes.
on it?
Yeah, there sure is. CityofMarion.org /Swamp Fox. So, pretty good.
Now, if people are new to the area, explain why the name Swamp Fox. Now, we know the reasoning behind it.
You know, we're asked that probably all the time. Why did we do that? Well, of course, the Swamp Fox was the nickname for General Francis Marion that fought the war in like the South, mostly in South Carolina, but he fought it in the swamps, and he would attack the British in the swamp, and then he'd sneak away, and they could never find him. So, seemed like he'd hide out in the swamps and.
Hence the name.
Yes, he was. We think he's more famous than George Washington, but there's a lot of towns named Washington also.
Yep. Well, a few named Marion, but I'm not sure if they're named after that particular Mr. Yeah. Marion.
Yep. But it's actually a celebration of our heritage is why we've done it, to kind of make us kind of feel good about our community and a lot of support. We've had a lot of businesses really, really bill up to the bar when they help. So It's about $20,000 comes in
from
businesses to match some of the city money.
Awesome. Now, if people want, like you mentioned the basketball, if there's still time to enter, just go to the website and find out, or can they call to see if they can enter their team?
Yes, I think they call the YMCA.
Okay.
I think the YMCA over here on Stony Point is actually doing the basketball for us, but they can call the Marion Y too.
They'll point them in the right
direction.
They'll
point them in the right way.
And yes. You got the annual parade, of course.
Parade, yes. That's starts at 9:30. Start line up down at Marion High School. Mm-hmm. Come up through there. In fact, it's a crazy thing. They've taken us former mayors. There's like six of us that are alive, and we're going to be in cars. So we're the grand marshals.
Awesome.
So that's kind of
it's about time.
Yeah, it is.
if you're interested in that 3-on-3 tournament, that's for 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th grade boys and girls. The number for that is 390-3488 to get a team in.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome,
I know,
Vic.
It's right here in our brochure. Thank you for reading it. Maybe I should read it.
You can eat all day for several days, can't you, at this thing? That's
sure can.
The best part.
Yes, that's the best part about it. The things move from... I know there's going to be some sort of a drum band up in our park, you know, where they've... the alley, where they put the art in the
mm-hmm.
alley.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's something coming at 1 o'clock. So it's a drum group. I think the University of Iowa.
Oh, maybe. Cool.
Hey, you know, there's a bags tournament 11 o'clock on Saturday. How about that?
There you go.
What does it say? How much it costs to enter? Do you see that?
$15 a team.
Yeah,
not bad.
How many on a team?
Two.
All right, Mart. We'll do it before the pregame and the postgame show coming up.
But music then out at Lyle Park, and then the fireworks about 9:30. So it's a big day.
Make your plans to be out at Marion. Always good to see you, Vic.
Yes, thank you.
And thanks for stopping by.
I don't have grandkids playing ball anymore,
no, you don't.
So I don't see you. So, you know, I got some little grandkids that are coming up second grade.
We'll look forward to them.
I sure hope so.
All right.
Thank you.
Stay tuned. Todd Rommelkamp Show coming up next on KGYM.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM. KZIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.